my faith in him, confess his judgments fair. And if he stays with me, I'll stay anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. On the last, it is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of his word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior content anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Amen. Good scene. Brother Anthony, could you lead us in a word of prayer? Is going to be song number 43, be our new song for this month, My Wonderful Lord. Song number 43 in your blue hymn books, My Wonderful Lord. Try to learn this together. Song number 43, let's sing it out on the first.
I have found a deep peace that I never had known, and a joy this world could not afford. Since I yielded control of my body and soul to my wonderful, wonderful Lord. My wonderful Lord, my wonderful Lord. By angels and seraphs in heaven adored, I know thou art mine, my Savior divine, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. I desire that my life shall be ordered by thee, that my will be in perfect accord with thine own sovereign will, thy desires to fulfill, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. My wonderful Lord, my wonderful Lord. By angels and seraphs in heaven adored, I know thou art mine, my Savior divine, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. All the talents I have laid at thy feet. Thy approval shall be my reward. Be my store, great or small, I surrender it all to my wonderful, wonderful Lord. My wonderful Lord, my wonderful Lord. By angels and seraphs in heaven adored, I know thou art mine, my Savior divine, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. Let's sing it on the last. Thou art fairer to me than the fairest of earth. Thou omnipotent, life-giving Word. O thou ancient
of days, thou art worthy of praise, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. My wonderful Lord, my wonderful Lord, by angels and seraphs in heaven adored, I know thou art mine, my Savior divine, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. Amen. Good seeing you this morning.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Shore Foundation Baptist Church. Let's take our bulletins and go through some announcements. On our front cover, we have our verse of the week. If you needed a bulletin, would you raise your hand? Sorry. Just lift your hand up. Brother Ramon will bring you a bulletin. On our front cover, we have our verse of the week. It says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. And our service times are Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and Sunday evening is at 3:30 p.m. We'll be in Genesis 49 one more time, and this time it will be finished. And then Thursday evening Bible study is at 6:30 p.m. And our soul winning times are listed below. We have soul winning today at 1 o'clock. And we have regional times now listed down below. And then our praise report, we've had three salvations so far for this month. And then you can see all the baptism totals and attendances below there. Our upcoming events, you guys will probably all still be here. Miss Sheila's going. But there's going to be a Northeast New IFB conference night. That's in New Jersey. And that is going to be at 6 p.m. for food and fellowship, and then the service begins at 7 p.m. I'll be preaching, Pastor Jimenez will be preaching, and we'll be doing baptisms if anybody needs to be baptized. And then we're going to be partaking in a soul-winning marathon on Saturday. So looking forward to that. It's going to be a great trip. And our next home school, and I think our last home school field trip of the year, is June 14th, and that's going to be a trip to Oaks Amusement Park. See Miss Rachel Woods for details on that and sign up with her. I think she's already bought plenty of bracelets. Do you have more bracelets than people right now, or you don't know? It's a toss-up. Well, please RSVP with her so we can figure that out. It's coming up quick. So when's the cutoff for that, would you say? Friday? This Friday? Okay, so this Friday you gotta let her know. That would be nice so that we can figure out how many people are going. So anyway, also we have on June 15th, And these times might be tentative. Is 3 p.m. correct for the funeral service for Mary Kornichuk? And that is going to be at Futon, is that right? Futon Rose and Hoyt Funeral Home at 2308 Pacific Avenue, Forest Grove, Oregon, 97116. And the burial is at Union Point Cemetery. And you said that's in Banks?
Yes.
Okay. Banks, Oregon. So about how far is that from the funeral home?
10 minutes.
10 minutes, okay. And you don't have a specific time yet for that. We have to talk about that still. I put 5 p.m. tentatively, but we'll get that for sure time. So the church is invited, is that correct? The church is invited. Okay. And so please come if you can. That is on a Wednesday afternoon, so it might be tough for some of you with your schedules, if you can make it there to support Brother Alex and his family, that would be very nice. And if you have any questions, I'm sure Brother Alex would be willing to answer any of those questions for you. So and continue to pray for Brother Alex and his family, and that would be very nice also. June 18th, we have a men's shooting event in Stevenson, Washington. We'll meet at the Bridge of the Gods on the Washington side around noon. We'll have some lunch, and then we'll shoot some guns. Amen. And 19th is the Father's Day services here at Shore Foundation Baptist Church, and we'll have a gift for every dad in attendance. There's some choices this year, so but it is going to be first come, first serve. And if you get stuck with one thing or another, they're all still good gifts. So anyway, we also have the FWBC Mega Conference coming up, and our stop location for Pastor Anderson is on June 23rd. That'll be a Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. And our Church in Spokane is also going to be a stop for Pastor Anderson, and he's going to be preaching both services on Sunday, June 26th. So if you're wanting to travel to get more Pastor Anderson, I highly recommend that you do that, and I'm sure it'd be a blessing to the folks up in Spokane. Remember to continue to pray for a church building for them. And 4th of July is there's going to be a fellowship at the Yankee Residence. July 9th is Miss Alana Yankee's baby shower at the church building. Not sure the time yet. Do you have a time yet?
When waiting to see soul winning
times. Okay. Waiting to see soul winning times. All right. So we need to figure that out. But anyway, that's July 9th. So it's a ways off. And then the Red Hot Preaching Conference, of course, is July 14th. We're a family integrated church. That means the children and infants are welcome during the church services. Please utilize those rooms for what they're intended for, and utilize them for your convenience. Please, no dads in the mom baby room and vice versa during the church services, and reserve the back rows for families with young children. The rockers or gliders are for pregnant nursing mothers and elders only. Please know, I already said that, no unattended children in any area of the building. Please no food in the assembly area. Please silence your cell phones if you would at this time, please, or place them on airplane mode. And escorts to vehicles by the ushers are available. Should you be a single lady or a lady just here with your children, the ushers are happy to walk you to your car. And then the online donations are available at our website, the text giving number. You can see the tithes and offerings that came in for the month of May. That is the complete number there. And our June birthdays, I accidentally put Candace on there. I was wrong about that. I was going to embarrass her this morning because I thought that I missed it, but I'm a month off. So anyway, sorry about that. But Remy, did you get your birthday sang to you? Yeah, I didn't think so. And Sean C. did, though. But anyway, it was his birthday also on the 3rd. Remy's birthday was on the 3rd. He's 24 years old. And let's see, Hazel's birthday is on the 4th, which was yesterday, right? And then Naomi Alcorta, the 7th. So let's see. And then Robert and Crystal have an anniversary, and Rylan and Julene have an anniversary on the 11th. Let's sing happy birthday to all the birthday people.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. All right, so Robert and Crystal will have to sing to them when Robert's actually here. And then Julian and Rylan, the 11th. Is that this week? It is this week. All right, well, come on, sit next to your wife. Yeah. I'll yell at you for something. Sing happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy anniversary to you.
How many years? Is not a right response. 6, man, I can't believe that's that's crazy. All right, well, and then let's remember to pray for, we have some folks that are sick in our church that have been sick, so I know the Lamberts have been pretty sick, and then the Alcorta family's had some issues with sickness. The Harringtons are sick right now, and if I missed you, I'm sorry, but Miss Bobby's sick? Okay, she's just, okay. All right, well, let's remember to pray for them. That's all I have for announcements. Let's sing another song, and then we'll receive the offering.
All right, our next song is song number 19 in your blue hymn books. Jesus is the joy of living. Song number 19 in your blue hymn books, Jesus is the joy of living. Song number 19, Jesus is the joy of living. Let's sing it out on the 1st.
I have found a wondrous Savior, Jesus Christ, the soul's delight. Every blessing of his favor fills my heart with hope so bright. Jesus is the joy of living. He's the King of life to me. Unto Him my all I'm giving, His forevermore to be. I will do what He commands me, anywhere He leads I'll go. Jesus is the joy of living, He's the dearest friend I know. Life is growing rich with beauty, toil has lost its weary strain. Now a halo crowns each duty, and I sing a glad refrain. Jesus is the joy of living, He's the King of life to me. Unto Him my all I'm giving, His forevermore to be. I will do what He commands me, anywhere He leads I'll go. Jesus is the joy of living, He's the dearest friend I know. Heavenly wisdom He provides me, grace to keep my spirit free. In His own sweet way He guides me, when the path I cannot see. Jesus is the joy of living, He's the King of life to me. Unto Him my all I'm giving, His forevermore to be. I will do what He commands me, anywhere He leads I'll go. Jesus is the joy of living, He's the dearest friend I know. Oh, what splendor, oh, what glory, oh, what matchless power divine. Is the Christ of gospel story, Christ the Savior who is mine. Jesus is the joy of living, He's the King of life to me. Unto Him my all I'm giving, His forevermore to be. I will do what He commands me, anywhere He leads I'll go. Jesus is the joy of living, He's the dearest friend I know.
Amen. Good seeing Brother Ryan. Could you bless your offering for us?
Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring you one. Philippians chapter 3. Bible reads in verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Brother Stephen, will you pray for us?
Amen. All right. The title of the sermon this morning is Three Types of Dogs. Three Types of Dogs. So look at Philippians chapter 3, verse number 2. The Bible says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now, I take this verse literally, as in there's certain animals called dogs. They're literal animals that we should be aware of. And when we go knocking on doors, we see those signs probably a lot. Beware of dogs. And they have like angry looking dog pictures of them barking at you. And, you know, some of us have even had dogs sicked on them. I've had a dog sicked on me before where it like got right to the edge of the lawn and it was just like, rawr, 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 rawr. I've had dogs come out at me and try to bite me and bite me. But it was, thank goodness it was a little dog. The pit bull that he was holding back looked like he worked out a lot. So I was glad that that wasn't the dog that got past him. It was a little ankle biter instead. But, you know, when you get attacked by a dog, it can give you some PTSD, right? And so there was a while there that I was like, when I would hear dogs barking, I was like, you know, I'd just start like going back into my flashbacks of the dog attacking me. So, and hoping it wouldn't be like a German Shepherd or a Doberman Pinscher or a Pit Bull, God forbid. So anyway, so the title of the sermon is Three Types of Dogs. And so we should be aware of literal dogs. And the Bible, when the Bible's talking about dogs, it could be talking about different things. So we have to take things in the context of what type of dog it's talking about. Now,
There are literal dogs. There are people that are called dogs as like a slight against them. Dogs are not mentioned in a positive light in the scriptures. If you just do a study on dogs, I don't think you can actually find a positive mention of dogs in the whole Bible. That's not to say that all dogs are bad. I actually particularly like dogs as far as the animal is concerned. Now, there's different types of those, and I'll get into that here in just a minute, but there's also the type of dogs that we should clearly stay away from, and that is talking about the sodomites, and we'll get to that in the third point. But I want to start with just talking about literal dogs. So there's three types of dogs that I found in the scriptures, did a little study on it. There's actually a lot of verses about it, more than you would think, so I had to cut some verses out of this. But so I'm not going to mention every mention of dog or dogs in the whole Bible, but I am going to kind of go over literal dogs. So the first mention of the word dog in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 11, verse 7. So go ahead and turn there. Exodus chapter 11, verse number 7. And we know that God created all things, and he created dogs for a purpose, just like he created any other animals. And the animal that we're talking about is a dog. And Exodus 11, verse 7 says, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." So it's talking about a literal dog here, because it's talking about the firstborn of the Egyptians dying, but against the children of Israel, dog will not move its tongue. And dogs use their tongues to lap at things, to lick things. They like to lick blood, as we'll see in the scriptures here. And they like to lick faces and ears and toes. And dogs are kind of gross animals in a way. They'll lick pretty much anything. But anyway, so that's your first mention of dog in the Bible. And so the first definition of a dog in the dictionary is a domesticated carnivorous mammal that typically has a long snout, an acute sense of smell, non-retractable claws, and a barking, howling, or whining voice. So that is true. That is what the dog that's domesticated, you know, they're still carnivorous. They're still a mammal. Most of them have long snouts, unless you're talking about pugs or whatever. They look like they ran into the back of a parked car. But then you got they all have the same acute sense of smell. They can smell anything cooking in the kitchen. And even domesticated dogs can get out of control with humans being their masters, because a lot of people don't train their dogs correctly. And have you ever been at somebody's house and their dog is just like, you're eating there at the table, and their dog is like drooling right next to you? It's disgusting. Get your dog away from me, please. And you just look over, you're like, can I help you with something? And they're just like, you know, have you seen that happen before? It's happened to me lots of times. But anyway, you know, dogs are also called man's best friend. So dogs can be good companions. You know, they're always excited. You know, once your kids stop being excited when you come home, like when they're teenagers, or like, you know, they start acting all weird and stuff, your dog still welcomes you home, right? They're always happy to see you, you know, unless they're in trouble, and then they can tell that too. They kind of like, you know, what's he gonna do? But dogs can be a useful animal, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But we do have, as far as literal dogs go, domesticated dogs are what we are most familiar with. Job chapter 30, verse number 1, he is talking about people that he had disdained. In Job 31, it says, "But now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock." So dogs are useful in a way. So he's talking about dogs of my flock, the dogs that help him to run the sheep or the animals. And dogs have been used to do those kinds of things for thousands of years, where they keep sheep in line. They're called sheep dogs or whatever. And they're trained to keep flocks in order, including cattle and all different types of animals. So, but see, here it's still not a positive mention, right? He's like, I would have disdained to have set them with the dogs of my flocks. So the Bible kind of puts dogs in a low light. It's not really positive. The dogs are not positive in the Bible. But again, they can be positive as a pet. So again, I'll talk about that in a minute. But here's another definition of dog: a wild animal of the dog family. So, you know, dogs have been domesticated for humans to do many different things. But wild dogs are wild animals, and they are very vicious, they're very cunning, and they are predators. They are literal predators. So lots of different characteristics of a dog. In Exodus 22, verse 31, I think I had you in Exodus 11, 7. In Exodus 22, 31, it says, "And ye shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs." So God had restrictions on what we could eat in the Old Testament. And I still think roadkill is probably not a very good way to get your food supply. Anything that's been torn of beasts in the field or something that dies of itself, the Bible says you shouldn't eat those things. But it says you shall cast it to the dogs. And why would you do that? Well, because dogs will pretty much eat anything. I've seen videos where dogs will eat a frozen burrito in seconds. In seconds. Like, if you try to bite a frozen burrito, it'd break your teeth off. But dogs are just like, you know, they'll just eat anything. They'll eat bones, you know. And I think it's really funny how people are like, don't give the dog bones. You know, it's like, dogs chew bones and eat them. That's part of their main menu. Like, well, but the chicken bones, they splinter and hurt them. What, you don't think foxes eat chickens? But amazingly, there's still a fox family alive on the earth today. You know, sometimes we get these wives' tales, these things that are probably not true, as far as like dogs not being able to eat birds. Dogs will literally eat anything, dead, alive, it doesn't matter to them. So God said to take that kind of stuff, that kind of flesh, and feed it to the dogs. So dogs, when you take care of them, they need to eat. And so, but they'll, my dogs lived off Old Roy. And I'll tell you what, people are like, oh, don't give them that bad Old Roy dog food. You know, it's just not good for them. Well, our dogs all live to be like older than any dogs that I've ever seen in my life. And they all ate Old Roy till the day that they died. So something about Old Roy makes them Methuselah dogs or something. So the dogs will pretty much eat anything, including human flesh and human blood. So in the scriptures, it is considered a curse to have a dog eat your dead carcass. God would curse certain kings that did wickedly, and he would say, hey, dogs are going to eat you. Like Ahab killed Naboth, Jezebel had him killed, but God held him responsible, because the reason why Jezebel had him killed is because he refused to give Ahab his garden that was close to his house. And so God put a curse on them. I'll show you that here. Actually, turn to 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 23. So it is a curse to have dogs eat your dead carcass. And that basically means that you're not going to have a burial, which is also a curse. To not be buried, to just be left in some field to die and be eaten by animals is considered a curse. So 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 23 says, "And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel." So Jezebel, of course, was a wicked, wicked, evil, Baal-worshipping, satanic reprobate. And her curse would be that she would be eaten by dogs. That's not a very good way to go, is it? Well, first she was thrown out of a window, and then the dogs ate her. Okay, and there wasn't much left of her once the dogs ate her, because Jehu came in. Jehu comes in. He's supposed to destroy the house of Ahab, including Jezebel, which was his wife. And Ahab had already died at this point. So she paints her face up, gets all ready. She's looking out the window. Jehu's already just smoking people left and right. He's on a tear. He's driving furiously, you know, with his chariot. He gets there, he's like, who's on my side? You might have said, who's on the Lord's side? I think he said, who's on my side? And then the eunuchs actually threw her out the window and blood was sprinkled on the side of the wall. And then the dogs came and ate her carcass. But Jehu, you know, he walks in, he just like walks right past her, and it says he trode over her. So he literally steps on her dead body as he walks in to have something to eat. And then he says, hey, bury her, for she's a king's daughter. And when they went to bury her, there was nothing left but her palms, I think, in her skull, because the dogs had eaten everything else. So dogs can be very vicious animals. And if you want something cleaned up, you know, they'll clean it up. You spill something on the floor, and the dog will come over and lick it up, won't they? That's just how dogs are. So it says in verse 24 where you're at, it says, him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. Jeroboam also had this curse placed upon him. Baasha also had this curse placed upon him that dogs would eat them and birds would eat their dead bodies. It's a curse from God to not be buried in that manner and to just be left for dogs to eat you. So it is a curse. Look at Psalm chapter 68, verse number 23. Psalm chapter 68, verse number 23. So this sermon is basically kind of like a Bible study about dogs. So, but there'll be some preaching in it, so don't worry. Psalm chapter 68, verse 23 says, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. So this is talking about God destroying his enemies, and he's talking about the tongue of thy dogs also. So it says that your foot might be dipped in the blood of your enemies and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. So dogs do lick blood. They will lick human blood. They will eat humans. Look what happened to Jezebel. She was eaten except for her palms of her hands and her skull. So, I mean, they really went to town on Jezebel. Luke chapter 16, verse 21. Turn to Luke chapter 16, verse 21. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you from keeping pets as dogs and things like that, but I will say this, that you should be a responsible and balanced owner of animals, okay? Whatever kind of animal you have, you should be responsible and take care of that animal and make sure that you're not to the point where you're worshiping that animal, okay? Because, you know, you can have a dog and they can be well-trained and they can do good things for you. They can just be a companion. If that's all you want them for is a companion, they can be a guard dog. They can work for you. They're seeing eye dogs. They have all kinds of benefits. But if you don't train them correctly, they're animals. They will do things that animals do, and they have traits that are not that great. I have a friend at work. I just heard yesterday that his dog, when he was gone away on a trip, had bit his daughter when she was taking care of the dog for him. And she's an adult, but the dog had a real problem around its food. Sometimes dogs, have you ever noticed the dogs, if you get close to them while they're eating, they'll growl? Well, they're growling because they're about to bite you. I mean, I don't know if you knew that or not, but we had a dog named Bear that would do that, but he wouldn't bite. Like he got beaten a few times for doing it, for like trying to snap or whatever. But not by me, it was by somebody else. But anyway, dogs, they're very protective. And so he had to put that dog down. That's the responsible thing to do. If a dog bites another human being, then you should be responsible and have that dog put to sleep. Because that's what needs to be done. Because the dog, if it bites once and then it bites somebody else again, the Bible actually puts the death penalty on an animal that you know is like when it talks about the ox goring people, if it's been known to do that in times past and you still continue to keep that ox and it kills somebody, then the owner and the animal is supposed to be put to death. That's what the Bible says. So if you have a dog that has been known to bite in the past and then it kills some kid or kills some person, because some dogs are capable of killing adult human beings, and they're called pit bulls and they're called German Shepherds. Like there's several breeds of dogs that could probably kill a human pretty easily. And when they pack up, they're even more likely to do those types of things. So I would say this, if you want to keep an animal as a pet or a dog as a pet, that's fine. But just make sure you're balanced. You know, a lot of people are kind of prone to worship animals nowadays. It's just really weird. And dogs are like the number one worshiped animal in America, it seems like. In some countries, they eat them as a delicacy. But in this country, they give them hotels. They have doggy spas that you can take them to. You know, humans walk around and clean up after them after they go to the bathroom. I mean, they're treated better than some people's children are. Some people treated their dogs better than they ever treated their kids. And it's disgusting. You shouldn't just go, you know, you can't go over that line. Be balanced as a Christian with everything you do. But, you know, when you're owning an animal or a dog, don't get weird. Don't, like, make that dog an idol in your life to where you're going to choose that dog over church. You're going to choose that dog over going over the things of the Lord, because God will destroy every idol in your life. And so if you really love that dog, don't put him on a pedestal that's above God, because that animal, you know, God might just make that dog get parvo, or God just might, you know, make that dog get hit by a car, or God might just, you know, he'll do something. That dog will just be dead, and then you'll be like, oh, my poor dog, like, why did that happen? Well, maybe, you know, you shouldn't have avoided going soul winning or avoided going to church or whatever because of an animal. That's where you're crossing the line to the things that you shouldn't be crossing into. So you're in Luke chapter 16, verse 21. Look at what it says. It says, "And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." So this is talking about the rich man and Lazarus, and Lazarus had dogs that came and licked his sores. So that's kind of gross, but dogs are known to do that also. I'll tell you a gross story real quick. You ready? No? People are shaking their heads. No. Well, plug your ears if you don't want to hear it. So we were out camping when we were kids. We were out on the Deschutes River, and everybody had brought their dogs or whatever, and there was this little dog named Coco. And it was just like a little tiny, you know, yappy dog or whatever. And there was another dog that had been like hit by a car, and like, or maybe it had some kind of wound on its head that was scabbed over. And Coco was just trying to be a nice little dog, but licked that scab off the dog and ate it. It was disgusting. But my mom still gags about that story to this day, that the, you know, Coco, the scab eating dog. But that's what dogs do. They'll lick scabs, they'll lick blood, they'll lick, you know, they'll eat dead things, including humans. The Bible says, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 11. Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 11. The Bible says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." So here's another not so positive mention about dogs. Anybody that's had a dog is probably seeing their dog throw up and then go back to that pile of puke and then eat that pile of puke, right? Who's seen that before? Yeah, so dogs, the Bible's true, even when it's concerning dogs eating their own vomit. And so the point is that someone that's foolish or stupid is going to return to the stupid things that they've done before, just like a dog will return to their vomit. So again, it's not very positive, but dogs do eat their own puke. Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 17, you're still in that chapter, it says, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." So anybody knows that dogs have sensitive ears, and they will, if you grab a dog by their ears, they will bite you. So here's another instance where, you know, God is, he's not really, this isn't exactly a super negative verse about dogs, but it's just showing an attribute of what dogs are like. If you grab a dog by its ears, it will bite you. So that's why you shouldn't meddle with other people's business and get into strife that doesn't belong to you. So if two people are arguing, you don't want to jump into that fight if you don't, especially if you don't know what's going on. So, and that could be with a literal physical fight, a husband and wife fight. You know, you definitely don't want to jump in on someone else's husband and wife fight, because you know what? They're going to forgive each other and move on in most cases. But you know what? They're going to always remember the fact that you jumped in and whose side you took. And so they'll come back, and just like the dog that's taken by the ears, they're not going to like you very much anymore. So anyway, there's another lesson for you. But dogs can be very vicious. They can be very vicious. The pit bull is responsible for the most fatal attacks in the U.S. by far. So don't listen to the disinformation police where they're like, it's how you raise the dog. It's how, look, they're bred to kill. And I'm not saying that all pit bulls are evil, but all pit bulls are capable of doing evil. Okay? Now look what it not look what it says. I put the article in here. But anyway, it says killing 284 people over a 13-year period. So that's the ones that are reported. So these type of dogs are responsible for 66% of total dog fatalities in the United States over the last 13 years. So they are a dangerous animal. They are dangerous. And have I had a nice pit bull before? Yes, I have. I've had a pit bull that never bit me or never tried to bite anybody else. But, you know, I just, after hearing testimony after testimony of people who said, my dog's never done anything before, you know, it's never bitten people before. That's the final thing that people say right before their dog bites somebody, usually. Well, you know, oh yeah, go ahead and pet him. He doesn't bite. Bow! You know, they just attack you. But if it's a pit bull, they have jaws that can lock onto you that you're not going to get that dog's jaws off. They're bred to be that way. They're bred to fight and to kill. And to again, people are going to go like, well, I have pit bulls. My pit bull's never bit anybody. Well, you know, it might. There's people that have said that, and then they killed their grandchildren or killed their children. Like the dog never acted like that before. There's just tons of stories on the internet about people saying that they had to, you know, fight their dog to the death because their dog just attacked them one day for no reason, even though they trained them right and were good to them. So, you know, so 66% of total fatalities that that's despite the breed accounting for just 6.5% of total U.S. dog population. So it's kind of like how the sodomites, you know, molest on a higher level than most other, you know, they're only like 3% of the population doing 40% of the molestation and things like that. And that's just what's probably reported. But so the pit bulls are kind of the same way. They're kind of like the reprobate breed of dogs, if you will, that they're only 6.5% of the U.S. dog population, yet they do 66% of the deaths. So it is, I mean, I'm not saying all pit bulls are reprobate, so, but they do have a tendency to be like the reprobate of the dog family, right? So let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4. So my point is that that dogs are very vicious, and so you can see how this is going to translate later on into the third type of dog. But look at Ecclesiastes 9, 4. It says, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion." So this is as much as close to a positive mention of dogs as you can find in the Bible. It's saying it's better to have a living dog than a dead lion. And so obviously the point of this is that for him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. So as you're, if you're alive, there's still hope in you. And so, you know, to be the king of the forest, but dead, you know, they say that lions are the king of the animal kingdom, but if it's dead, it's useless. So it'd be better to be a lowly human being that's still alive, that still has some hope, than a dead king or a dead lion, right? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 43 says, "And the Philistines said unto David," this is talking about Goliath, "the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." So here's an account where Goliath the Philistine is saying, am I a dog that you would come at me with a stick? Because apparently fending off dogs that are wild with a stick would be something that you would do. So here's another not positive mention about dogs, and this is a evil person saying it. So dogs can be man's best friend or their worst enemy in reality. So what are the good traits of a dog? They're loyal. They're affectionate. They can be trained to do a multitude of useful things like seeing eye, comfort for people with PTSD. They guard the home. You know, that's a big reason why people use them. And then attack on command. That's a useful trick. And companionship. Some people, you know, maybe they're widowed or whatever, or they just have trouble making friends. Well, dogs will be your friend. And shepherd, you know, they shepherd other animals. They carry humans, like in dog sleds up in Alaska and the polar regions. And then they help hunt other animals like boars, bear, birds, etc. So we used to train, I used to train hunting dogs to flush out pheasants and quail and other stuff like that. So we would capture these pigeons. And then pigeons, if you turn them upside down and kind of rub their ears or whatever those things are, the, you know, they're kind of like ears. If you do that and you lay them in the grass, they will lay there until a dog comes and flushes them out. So how do I know this? Well, because I've done it before lots of times. But a dog, we would train our dogs that way. They wouldn't actually hurt the bird. They would flush that bird out, and then we would shoot the shotgun in the distance and then throw like a lure that smelled like whatever kind of bird we were trying to train them with. So they're very easily trained to hunt. They'll hunt big animals. Have you ever seen them, like maybe on some reality show where they'll hunt boars and they'll get like packs of dogs and they'll corner them so that the people come in and shoot them. So dogs have been used for lots of different great things over the years. But the bad traits are they'll eat anything, including humans. They're sneaky. They'll hump anything, and including your leg. And they're predatory. They're predatory. When do dogs and foxes attack and wolves and coyotes? They come out at night, and that's when they do predatory things. And they're always more vicious when they're in packs, okay? So they're unmerciful. They'll eat. They're not going to feel sorry for you and not eat you. They're going to eat you. And they're greedy. You can just keep feeding a dog, and they'll just keep eating and eating and eating. They won't stop. So you can see, again, how they have, well, that's why the Bible compares sodomites to them. Now, let's turn to Genesis chapter 49, verse 27. We'll be covering this a little bit tonight, but I was studying for my Genesis 49 sermon about Benjamin, I noticed one of the qualities that it says, or one of the predictions that Jacob gives about Benjamin. It says, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. So what does that tell you? Well, the dogs raven. That means that they're just like really vicious and snarl and all that stuff, and that they devour prey. So if they devour prey, what does that make them? It makes them a predator, right? So, and then they do these things at night. So wild dogs are very dangerous in all parts of the world. You got coyotes, you got wolves, you got dingoes, and those African dogs. I can't remember what they're, I think they're just called African wild dogs or whatever. But there's all different types of dogs that are, you know, around the world that are very dangerous. And, you know, we've seen them on the res when we've been in Yakima before. When we got there, we had the Chihuahua leader of the gang of dogs that was there. I'm not even kidding. What, Brother Sean, were you there? Nobody was there. Was anybody there in here? I always say that, but I don't think anybody was. So you just have to believe me, okay? This Chihuahua was vicious, and he was coming after us, but he had like a pack of homies that was with him that were even bigger than him. But so I'm glad that Chihuahuas can't really kill human beings. I mean, maybe if they had you on the ground, they might be able to or something, but the res dogs are no joke, and they leave them off their chains and stuff like that, and it's kind of scary, but you know, you got to be careful when it comes to wild dogs, because they will, especially if, you know, they find a child or something like that. So you got to be very careful. And wolves are obviously known around the world for being something that's very vicious and dangerous. You got the timber wolves that are really big and able to do lots of damage. They kill, you know, and sometimes they'll just kill and not even eat what they kill. They just like to kill. So, you know, and dogs are used to show lowliness and humility in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 14 says, after whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? So David is like using the term dead dog as something that's very low. And so he's being humble by saying, hey, you know, Saul, why are you after me? I'm like a dead dog. I'm like a flea. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8, it says, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? This is Mephibosheth. just wondering why David would help a crippled boy that is no use to him, but David wanted to do something kind for the house of Saul. But see, that it's also saying that you're a dead dog is like saying you're the lowest form of life. You know, it's being humble. So now calling someone a dog is a derogatory statement against somebody. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 8. While you're turning there, I'm going to read for you 2 Samuel 16, verse 9. 2 Samuel 16, verse 9 said, "Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." So, you know, Abishai is talking to David's enemy that's throwing rocks at him and cursing him and all this other stuff. And he's like, "Hey, let me go. Why should this dead dog curse my lord? Let me go chop his head off." You know, and David was like, "Well, you know, what do I have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah?" But 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 8 says, "And then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ish-bosheth and said, am I a dog's head?" So I'm not going to read the whole rest of the verse, but he's just like saying, am I a dog's head? Like, that's like seems to be like an ultimate insult in this area of the world and obviously in the Bible. Turn to Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10. Now, when dogs get old, they become less useful, you know, and we feel bad, you know, as human beings. We don't want to just put our dog to death or whatever because they're old and they can't do the things that they used to do. They can't jump on the bed anymore, which is kind of nice, but they don't hear well anymore. They don't see well anymore. And really, they just kind of walk around aimlessly in their latter years and bump into stuff and, you know, eat and sleep. That's pretty much all they do. But it says in Isaiah 56, verse 10, it's comparing, you know, someone that's a pastor that refuses, or a man of God that refuses to preach the truth or to preach that which is right. It says, "Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way." Oh, excuse me, that's verse number 11. Let me read verse 10. "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber." So the pastors that refuse to, like, you know, preach the Bible and to do what's right, it talks about that they're dumb dogs. That doesn't mean they're stupid. It means that they're just... They don't bark, they don't see, they don't hear, and they sleep all the time. They're just laying around. And it says, "Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter." So here again, you have a kind of a really bad picture of what dogs are like. It says they're greedy, they can't have enough. They love to lay around and sleep and slumber, and they cannot bark. So what good is a dog that's a watchdog that stops being able to bark? I mean, they're just worthless, right? So now, so that's the literal dog. I kind of went over a lot of stuff there. But now, and this is a little more controversial maybe, number two type of dog is the type of dog that is like they're the Gentiles and unsaved people, wicked people are compared to dogs in the Bible. And you're like, well, that's not true. It is actually true that people are talked about, you know, when people are talked about as dogs, that it's a lot of time. See, the children of Israel had the oracles of God. They were commissioned by God to go out and reach the other nations and be a light to other nations. In the Old Testament, too, just like the New Testament church, New Testament Israel is supposed to. But... So the Gentiles and the nations did not have the same laws. You know, they weren't the nation of God's chosen people. The light was supposed to shine to them just like it's supposed to shine to them today, but they just didn't really do their job that well. So they are compared to as dogs in and even Jesus flat out calls a woman a dog in the Bible. So I saw somebody on like Facebook or something say, "I heard a pastor the other day say that Gentiles are like dogs." I thought he might have been talking about me, but he said he saw two pastors do it. But you know why I say that? Because it's true. Okay, turn to 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 12. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse number 12. So here's a picture of a person that literally is like a dog. And he even says, am I like a dog? So look at what it says. And this is Hazael. He's the servant of Ben-Hadad, who is the king of Syria at this time. And 2 Kings 8:12, it says, and Hazael said, why weepest, my lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and will dash their children, and rip up their women with child. Sounds like a pretty bad guy, right? That's what Elisha is saying. This is what he's going to do. And Hazael said, but what, is thy servant a dog, that he should do this great thing? And it sounds like it's not a very great thing. It's a bad thing. That's kind of a weird way to word that. It says, and Elisha answered, the Lord has showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. So he departed from Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, what said Elisha to thee? And he answered, he told me that thou shouldest surely recover. Because that's what he said, but he said that I see that he's going to surely die. Because he knows what Hazael's going to do right here in verse 15. It says, and it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it on his face so that he died. And Hazael reigned in his stead. So this guy literally acted like a dog. And he says, is thy servant a dog? I mean, if Jesus would have been there to answer him, he probably would have said, thou sayest. You know, I mean, that's what a dog would act like. What? Here's another definition of dog in the dictionary. It says, dog, an unpleasant, contemptible, or wicked man. See, we have that definition in the dictionary. There's a domesticated dog. There's wild dogs. There's dogs that would be an unpleasant, contemptible, or wicked man. Okay? So it doesn't have to be a reprobate. It doesn't have to be a sodomite. Sometimes the Bible calls somebody a dog that isn't necessarily a reprobate. Okay? Turn to Psalm 22, verse 16. Psalm 22, verse 16. The Bible says in Psalm 22, verse number 16, this, and of course this is prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ when he's being crucified. It says, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. So what does it say? That they're wicked, right? And that they have compassed me. This is what dogs do when they're packing up on something. And what happened when Jesus was being crucified? There was all these people standing around mocking him and saying all these bad things. Now, I would say that a lot of the people that were standing around were reprobates, but do you think every single person there was a reprobate? Jesus prayed for them that God would forgive them because they know not what they do. Would he do that for a reprobate? No, he wouldn't do that for a reprobate. So obviously he's praying for the people that aren't, okay? Now, again, a reprobate is somebody that's been rejected by God is beyond hope of salvation, okay? So Jesus, you know, I mean, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, David is speaking as a prophecy about Jesus, that dogs have compassed me. So they're wicked. It says the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garment among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of what? The dog. Okay? So now the people that crucified him aren't necessarily reprobates. I mean, that's proven because some, like even one of the Roman centurions standing by said, truly this was the Son of God. So he admitted that he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. There was a mixed multitude, and God calls them, the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David says, dogs have compassed me, save me, my darling, from the power of the dog. Now, could there have been literal dogs there, or sodomite-type dogs there? Of course there could have been. I'm sure there was. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. This is where Jesus literally calls somebody a dog that's like a Gentile not of the nation of Israel. And it kind of seems mean, but I think that Jesus is doing this for a reason. Obviously, to see what her faith is like. He's testing her faith because she believes that Jesus can heal her daughter who's possessed by a devil. Look what it says in Matthew 15, 21. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, which of course is not Israel, it's the border of Israel. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. So she's from where? She's from Canaan. And remember, the children of Israel were supposed to drive the Canaanites out and destroy them, but they didn't completely destroy them. And it says, and cried unto them, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. So she's just like, please, Jesus, please help me. He's just like, just ignores her completely, doesn't say a word to her. And it says, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So see how he's making a difference between the people of the lost sheep of the nation of Israel and this woman from a different country called Canaan? What would she be considered? A Gentile, right? Somebody from a different nation that's not of Israel. It says, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. So what's he calling her right here? He's saying that she's a dog, right? Which that's not a very nice thing to say. And you're like, well, but was it sinful? No, because it's true. The people of those nations were considered dogs because they really didn't have the law of God. And they probably acted a lot like some of the things I've already showed you before, that they just didn't have God's law, and so they just kind of did whatever they wanted to do. And so I guess you could see that, you know, and a lot of these Gentiles had good things about them, though, right? The centurion that asked for his servant to be healed. He was a good man that was a Gentile, but he didn't complete, you know, these people don't, they have like the good qualities and bad qualities of a dog, but they're not reprobate dogs, okay? So that she's not a reprobate, obviously, because he says, it's not meet to take the children's bread. So he's saying, I'm sent to the house of Israel, right? To the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what his purpose was to do, was to reach them first. And when he left the disciples and the apostles, he charged them to go to all nations and preach the gospel, right? So, but Jesus's mission was not to go outside of Israel. But yet a lot of Gentiles got saved under his ministry, right? So, but he literally says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Remember when in Exodus chapter 11, when or whatever the other chapter was that I turned to, where it talked about how that you're supposed to take that meat that was killed of other beasts and cast it to the dogs? So that's unholy meat. But like what he's comparing, I think Jesus is playing on those words a little bit here. It's not meat to take the children's bread. See, the children's bread would be something that would be good. It would be like the word of God. It would be like preaching the gospel. It would be like preaching the Bible truths. And to cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So even though she just has been insulted, what does she say? Truth, Lord. What you're saying is true. And then she says, you know, she's basically like, but dogs, you know, they'll be in their master's house or whatever. But what do you know about dogs that they'll always come and try to eat the scraps of food on the floor? If you have a small child and a dog, the dog will sit there at the high chair of that child and wait for them to just throw their food and throw it on the floor. And they'll just sit there and beg in front of the children, won't they? Because little kids will also just break, you know, food off and hand it to dogs or whatever. You know, I mean, you've seen that before. But she's saying, hey, you're telling the truth. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So, I mean, I think that Jesus is testing her. And he, you know, obviously he said this stuff to her for a reason. But it's also for us to have a little bit of understanding that this second type of dog isn't necessarily some reprobate dog. See, dogs do have redeeming value in certain aspects, okay? Like your pets, your precious little pets that you love so much, they have a redeeming quality, don't they? But they, as the Canaanites had, they had some really bad qualities about themselves, didn't they? And some of them would probably be into the third category of dogs, which we're about to cover right now. Now, this is the time, if you're just squeamish about the sodomite doctrine, that you might want to just get up and kind of plug your ears or something like that. But I would say this, don't plug your ears from hearing the truth of God's word. You know, this is Pride Month, right? Pride Month. God hates pride. You know, I have a good friend that's being persecuted right now in Texas. They're threatening to kill him and his family. These are sodomites. These are dogs. This is the third type of dog. It's called the sodomite dog. All right, so number three today, the sodomite dog. I mean, he's literally having to stay someplace other than his house because they're literally sending him pictures of his house to him. They're doxing him. They're putting his phone number and his and all of his information online so people can what? Why are they doing that? Because they want somebody to kill him. Because they're bad people. They don't want the truth of God's word to go out because the truth of God's word is being silenced today on this issue. And if you have an opposing point of view on this issue, if you have God's point of view on this issue, it makes them very angry and they want to shut you up. They want to stop you from preaching the truth. YouTube wants to stop us from preaching this truth. They take all of our stuff off. I watched a video last night of AlexStein99. Who knows who that is? AlexStein99 is literally at a Pride parade in Dallas, Texas. And this woman, these two women, probably sodomites and adopted children, who knows what they are, the boy had green hair. So obviously they're imposing their trash upon this little boy. They have a little girl with them. And you know what? There's a police officer standing right there, and they're allowing their children to watch transvestite strippers inside of a bar where alcohol is being served, which is against the law. And they're allowing this to take place. The cop is standing right there. And he's like, hey, do you know that there's little children inside this place? Do you know? And the cop just stands there like he just doesn't care. That's wicked. It's wicked as hell. And you know, that's the kind of garbage that's going on today. But yet this message will get censored. This message will get stricken down and dumped down a memory hole because you know what? The wicked people that are running this place don't want people to hear the truth about the sodomites. The truth about the sodomites is the Bible compares them to dogs. And so all the bad qualities that dogs have, these people have. And that's why they're looked upon in the Bible in a bad light. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. Let me prove this to you. That dogs, they're considered dogs, these sodomites, are compared to dogs in the Bible. So, and these are the type of dogs that you need to put down. These are the types of dogs that will attack unmercifully. These are the types of dogs that didn't go through the right training and now there's something wrong with them and they can't be fixed. So you're in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. Look what it says. Look what the Bible says. And look, don't get angry with what I'm saying. Don't cringe. This is what the Bible says, okay? Deuteronomy 23, verse 17 says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel. Even the word whore is very, you know, censored today. Nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. So what's the Bible say? There's no sodomites of the sons of Israel. Why? Because they're to be put to death. It's a capital crime. Let me caveat this once again, like I always do. I don't think that people should, you know, any Christian or anybody should take the law into their own hands and hurt another person or kill another person. But under God's law, sodomites were to be put to death. Period. End of story. Do you think a serial killer should be put to death? But you know what? There's a moratorium on serial killers or any murderers, for that matter, to be put to death. Why is that? Because our government has turned completely wicked. And sweetness is light, and light is You know, I mean, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Everything's turned on its head right now to where they'll let a murderer go free, get a Nintendo and three hots and a cot, and just gets to be taken care of for the rest of his life because the governors won't do their job and put them to death. While at the same time, the same people that want to protect those scumbags want to put little children to death in mothers' wombs and are fighting like heck to try to keep the Supreme Court from actually doing something right for once, which the jury's still out on that, whether that's going to come to pass or not, but that's not what I'm talking about. So the Bible says there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. And a sodomite is what? A queer, a fag, a sugar britches, someone that, you know, they got sugar in the tank, they're a Peter Pan, whatever. They are queers, all right? And the Bible says that we're not, you know, and as children of Israel in the New Testament, the spiritual nation, there's no sodomites of the sons of Israel here either. And the kings of Israel broke down the houses of the sodomites that were even close, you know, the godly kings broke down their houses, drove them out of the land, put them to death like the Bible said, and the Bible said it was a good thing. So the law of the land, when there was actually a good king, they would get the sodomites out of there and get rid of them. But it says, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. And you're like, well, Pastor Thompson, I missed the part where it calls a sodomite a dog. Well, it says, no whore nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel, and thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, like the price of a whore, to the temple, or the price of a dog. So what is it doing here? Well, it's showing you a metaphor. A metaphor is a figure of speech in which a word or phrase is applied to an object or action in which is not literally applicable. So is a dog literally a sodomite? No. But the Bible is giving us a metaphor and saying, hey, sodomites are like dogs. And so when it says dogs in some instances in the Bible, it is talking about sodomites. Okay? What was our main verse that we went to this morning was, if I can get to it, Philippians 3:2. What's it say? Beware of dogs. You know, not too long ago, maybe it's been several years now, there was a man in Seattle that went to a pride parade that thought it was a good idea to go and street preach in the middle of a pride parade. And guess what happened to him? He got beat up really bad and hurt. He probably doesn't do that anymore, I would think. My cousin was run out of business in Seattle. He had like one of those... what are they called? The gyms where you lift kettlebells and all that. CrossFit. He had a CrossFit gym, a very successful CrossFit gym. And sodomites that were, you know, he was in the Seattle area. Him and his wife ran this CrossFit gym. And apparently it was known that he goes to church on Sundays or whatever. So they looked at what his church believed in their belief, their about this church, that they said homosexuality is a sin. And just because their church doctrinal statement said homosexuality is a sin, the sodomites raged against him and against his wife and basically got their whole business shut down just because the church they went to said that homosexuality is a sin. This is the world we're living in now. You can't even believe what the Bible says anymore. And that's very mild, isn't it? It's a lot more mild than what our church statement says. Our church statement says that homosexuality is an abomination to God and that the government should put them to death. That's what ours says. And it says there's no sodomites allowed in our church. So when that fag walked in the other day with his skirt on, I was like, can I help you with something? And he's like, oh, just looking around. You know, he's been caught looking in the windows of our church building where our kids are. He's been hanging out over here at this AA place or whatever. I see him all the time. He's a man with a beard and dreadlocks walking around with a skirt on. It's not It's not a man's skirt, it's just a woman's skirt. But I bet you most churches in this town would have let that guy come in here and walk around and parade his little queerness around all of our kids and stuff. I said, you need to leave. I'm not going to put up with that. I'm not going to sit there and let him molest your guys' eyeballs or your children. Or like, what's, you know, have you ever seen that picture on the internet where a kid's like at some pride parade, he's looking because some fag has his, you know what, hanging out in front of his face? And the kid's just like horrified. Who wants to see that? Nobody wants to see that. You know what? Of all places, God's house should not have these freaks hanging out inside of them. But you'll see all these churches with rainbow flags and stuff all over the outside of the church. You know what that means? That place has been conquered by the sodomites. You'll never see a flag like that hanging out of our church or in our church anywhere. Because you know what? They're not allowed in God's house, period. The Bible says they're not supposed to have sons of, you know, we're not supposed to have sodomites of the sons of Israel. And, you know, if their houses were destroyed for even being close to the house of God, then why would you allow them to come into the house of God? Do you think that the children of Israel actually let them come into the house of God wearing dresses and makeup and stuff? You're out of your mind. And they were pretty bad at certain points in their history, but they weren't allowing these people to come in. Now, so the Bible's very clear that this is a metaphor that dogs are, sodomites are considered to be dogs or wild animals or whatever. So turn to Matthew 7, verse 6. Matthew 7, verse 6. The Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So this is a warning from Jesus not to give that which is holy unto the dogs. Why would you preach the gospel to a sodomite when you know that they're just going to turn again and rend you? Why would you preach the gospel to a sodomite? You know, God's calling them swine. He's calling them dogs. He's saying, hey, don't give it to them because you know what? They're just going to turn again and they're going to attack you. Because you know what? That's what dogs that are wild and vicious do. Dogs that should be put down, they're just allowed to just run rampant. You don't see dogs in this city just running all over the place all the time, do you? You know why? Because we're a civilized society to a certain aspect, and people, just vicious dogs, aren't just allowed to run around loose everywhere because they're dangerous. If a pit bull's running down the road, it's because it escaped and broke off the huge chain that they were able to break through because they're so strong. You know, these dogs are like on steroids or whatever. But, you know, that's what's happened in our country. They were in the closet a long time ago, but you know what? They're out of the closet now, and look at what they're doing. They just wanted to get married. They just want to love. Love is love. Love wins. Now what do they want to do? The next thing they want to do is they wanted to adopt children. Why do you think they wanted to do that? So they can molest them. So they can take advantage of them. It's easy prey for them. That's what they want. Yep. They are molesters. They are predators, just like the dogs of the Bible, the wild dogs, the wolves. That's what they are. They're predators. And so it's like giving a baby to a ravening wolf. There's all kinds of stories about this. I preached a sermon about it at the Massa conference, where these sodomites just in Woodland drove their kids off of a cliff at the ocean because they didn't want... That, you know, they'd rather just have them die than to tell of the abuse and all the wickedness that they did to them, starving them, hurting them, probably molesting them. They even drugged the dog. They gave them all Benadryl and drove them off of a cliff. One of the girls jumped out of her own window and ran over to the neighbors who were family friends of my family, saying that they're beating them and starving them. And what happened? Nothing happened to them. Because they were able to, you know, take advantage of the system that just wanted to get married. Now they just want to take people's kids away from them or take kids. Because you know what? They're recruiters. Yep. They can't have children themselves, so they recruit. They recruit through molestation, and then now they can just have their pick of children, and they get to bring them in their home and act like they're normal. Like the kid with the green hair in the video that I watched yesterday. Watch it, you know. They're putting dollar bills into the waistbands of transvestites inside of a bar that's 21 and over, that's serving alcohol. But we're the ones that are mean. You know what's mean? Is to subject children to that kind of stuff. And that police officer should be ashamed of himself. Yeah. He should quit. Because you know what? He's not upholding the Constitution, and he's not upholding the truth. He should just retire. Ask for a different spot. You know, I'm not for banning all police, but you know what? If they'll just sit by there and let somebody break the law like that, they need to be out of there. So who's the one that's really mean? Yeah, I'm yelling right now because it really makes me angry that, you know, a good church down in Texas is getting persecuted. And that same area, this police officer's letting faggots get money from little children inside of a bar. While they're death threatening them, while they're covering up their property and trying to get them kicked out of another building for preaching the truth. You know, I stand with Pastor Shelley. I stand with Steadfast Baptist Church and any other church that's going to actually get up and preach the truth about stuff. This isn't exactly the Bible Belt up here either, folks. So don't commit yourself to preach. If you believe that fags can be saved, preach them the gospel. Just don't invite them here. I'm not baptizing them. They're not allowed here. Because not everybody agrees on this issue. But the Bible says that they're rejected. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says, professing themselves, I'll just start reading while you're turning there. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to what? Birds and four-footed beasts. Is a dog a four-footed beast? Are there idolatrous pictures and gods that are of dogs? There are. It says in creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served what? The creature more than the creator. See, this is where what dog worshiping can get to you. You know, where God just gives you up to a reprobate mind. Says who's blessed forever. So God, for the reason, it says, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. So why did God do it? Because they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. You see what I'm saying with the whole don't worship dogs thing? Okay, and it says in verse 27, and likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And if you have a pen with you right now, you can just put AIDS next to that. You could put monkeypox next to that. All manner of disease and filth that they pass around to each other in their bathhouses and in their little shady bars that they're allowed to just, I mean, they're like a vexation to this world. And they're just like multiplying and multiplying. And you know what? People that are just normal people can get it too. They can get these diseases because you know what? They go both ways. I'm going to read you a little bit of a CNN article. I know I got to finish up here and I'm going to, but listen to this. This is CNN. This is Communist News Network. This isn't like, you know, independentbaptist.com. This is from CNN. It says, anyone can get or spread monkeypox, but a notable fraction of cases in the latest global outbreak are happening among gay and bisexual men. This is talking about monkeypox. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Monday, some groups may have a greater chance of exposure right now, but by no means is the current risk of exposure to monkeypox exclusively to the gay and bisexual community in the U.S. But you know why? Because they're allowed to exist. They're allowed to breathe. They're allowed to just, you know, put their filth all over, whereas they used to be controlled to a certain extent in the population. Now it's everywhere. So it says, said Dr. John Brooks, chief medical officer for the CDC's Division of HIV AIDS Prevention. I wonder why he's in, you know, talking to us about monkeypox. It says anyone can develop and spread monkeypox infection, but many of those affected in the global outbreak identified as gay and bisexual men. It's mostly them, folks. This monkeypox that everybody's talking about. And you know what? I bet they won't, what they won't do. I bet you they won't shut the world down. I bet you they won't shut the world down and make everybody wear masks or make everybody just be celibate so they don't spread monkeypox. I bet you that's not going to happen. But you know, these people are like dogs and they just go and do whatever to whatever. And that's how it spreads, folks. So it says it's identified as gay and bisexual men. This is the people that are getting monkeypox, folks. The people that shouldn't even exist, according to God's word. So they're probably not going to stop the world for the monkeypox like they did with the COVID stuff. But you know what? They're not just spreading monkeypox. That's why the guy from AIDS and HIV, of the head of that in the CDC, is talking about this, because it's a, you know, they say gay, but it's fags, okay? They're the ones that are spreading all this junk. AIDS used to be called GRID. That's right. Gay-related immune disorder. Yep. But, you know, they couldn't hurt the queer's feelings with that. You know that they still, now that they're starting to let homos give blood again, in the 80s, they stopped them from giving blood because that's how people were getting it. That's how normal people were getting it, from blood transfusions. Because they're giving blood probably to infect people, but also because they need money to support their drug habits. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 28. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. See, God gives them over. Once God gives up on you, you're finished. You're finished. But in this world that we live in, dogs, this kind of dog is allowed to just roam wherever they want and infect whoever they want and hurt whoever they want. I mean, the police aren't even stopping them. And, you know, like, what's the redeeming quality of this sermon? The characteristic that you could, hey, stay away from them. Yep. Keep your children away from them. You stay away from them. They're not going to do anything but to kill and destroy people. That's what they want to do. Ellen, she's so fun and happy, huh? While she's torturing people in the back room on her show. These people are filled. Look at what it says in verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness. That's what a rejected person does. They're filled with all unrighteousness. And then God gives a list. Fornication. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. They hate God. That's what makes them different. And you know what? They lust after, when a homosexual lusts after another one, that's a sign that they have been given up. Now, I know in society nowadays, it's cool now to be a homo. It's cool to identify as a trans or some kind of whatever gender that they make themselves up to be. He, she, you know, I identify as it, her, or whatever. They have these pronouns that they like to use. And, you know, they're making it seem cool so that kids that actually are straight are probably pretending to be that way or maybe hanging out, but that's the danger of it. Because then they start to think, well, am I really that? And then all it takes is for them to molest that person, and that person gets that in their mind that they're that way too, and then that's how they spread. They spread through being a predator. They make them what they are. And parents should stop, you know, allowing their children to be around these people. I really hope there's nobody in our church that hangs out with them, because you're just putting yourself in danger. They're like, well, not my cousin. My cousin's different. They're like the pit bull that's nice. That's what they want you to think, folks, that they are nice, but they're really not. They're really evil. So I'm done. I got to be done here, but You can look at 2 Peter chapter 2. You can look at Jude. But I'm going to close on this verse here, Revelation chapter 22, verse 15. The Bible says, for without are dogs. That means without heaven. Without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. The Bible says, so what type of dog is it talking about? Is it talking about the woman that was from Sidon? No, because Jesus called her a dog, and she I believe that that woman was saved. He said, great is thy faith. So you see how there's three different types of dogs. There's a literal dog. There's someone that's a wicked or evil person, but not necessarily the third category, which is the sodomite dog, that are unable to be fixed. They're unable to be trained. They are just ravening predators out there trying to destroy anybody that they can. Because why? Because they're psychopaths. They are literal psychopaths. God's given them over to a rejected mind, a reprobate mind. All right? So there's three types of dogs. So beware of all types of dogs, but especially beware of the sodomite dogs. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for the Word of God and how clear you make it, Lord, that you put us in places where we can just try to avoid these people, like the house of God here. I pray that, Lord, you would just help us to take what the Bible says, and whatever I say is just man's words, but Lord, the things in the Bible that you clearly show us, Lord, I pray that people would take those things to heart. And Lord, I'm only trying to help people. I'm not trying to hurt people. And I just pray that you would help us to get this through our heads. And it's a topic that's not popular right now. But Lord, you said to preach it in season and out of season. Lord, it's out of season now. But Lord, the house of God and preachers everywhere should make this in season, because it's such a topic that we would never have thought would be gone this far. But here we are, Lord. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to navigate this world and just think about the things that we do and who we hang around with, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, our last song will be song number 333 in your blue hymn books, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. Song number 333 in your blue hymn books, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. Song number 333, let's sing it on the first.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would love to tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Oh, how much he cared for me.
Amen. Good seeing Brother Alex. Could you close in a word of prayer?